It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Oh, my goodness.
Touchdown.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Tuesday edition of Overtime. Welcome back into the program. Still to come today, latest from the NFL. We're working on a season preview for the Las Vegas Raiders, likely to be the worst team in the AFC West. But to be fair, that division is absolutely locked and loaded. The Chargers, Broncos, and the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, the front runner. Very good football teams. Raiders are not yet, but certainly maybe in the right direction. The arrow pointing up for the Raiders. Can't really point any further down lately. Pete Carroll back there to right the ship. We'll see what they can be this year. We'll preview that season coming up here in about 20 minutes. In about 30 minutes, we'll break down the South Dakota Prep Media High School football poll and the latest from the world of college football, and finish up today's show with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, weather impacted the Brewers and Cubs earlier this year. Yesterday, they were supposed to play two. They played one, and then weather came back and impacted game two. So they're going to try and play two today from Wrigley. Yesterday, Brewers better than the Cubs 7-0. Other finals from across Major League Baseball: Detroit all over Houston 10-0. Tigers are 74-53. St. Louis wins in Miami 8-3. White Sox get a romp victory over Atlanta 13-9. Other finals: Kansas City over Texas 4-3. The Rockies beat the Dodgers, worst team in baseball, over one of the best teams in baseball 4-3. And Cleveland wins in Arizona 3-1. That final score: Guardians are 64-60, currently second place in the AL Central. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Brewers and Cubs, a split doubleheader. Game 1 at 1:20, Game 2 at 7:05. Astros and Tigers collide in Detroit at 5:40 on TBS. Other games on the way: Cardinals at Marlins, White Sox at the Braves, Dodgers at Rockies. Twins open up a series against the Athletics at Target Field. 6 o'clock pregame coverage, 6:40 start time right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. NFL football last night, we were treated to a pretty good ball game. Cincinnati and Washington going at it, and we showcased the really good offenses and the defenses that, frankly, need some work. Since he wins it 31-17, Joe Burrow, efficient, cool as can be for Joe Cool, 9 of 14, 62 yards and a touchdown. And get to know the name Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, the backfield leader in D.C., 11 carries, 46 yards and a touchdown last night in preseason game number 2. Jaden Daniels scored last night, but without a big hit near the goal line on a big rushing carry into the end zone for a touchdown. Here's Dan Quinn, the coach of the Commanders, on taking those hits and using your legs like that in the preseason.
You think those conversations haven't already been told? No, honestly, it is part of his game, and it is what makes him a special player. When the second play begins, there's just an unusual playmaking ability that takes place. Sometimes it's with his legs, other times it's with his arm, but it is part of who he is. But it is one of the things we've worked on, to say, when do you take your shots and when do you go? There'll be more of that, you know, at times. Sometimes I'll say less of that, but, you know, for the most part today, I was pleased with the preparation heading into the game.
Commanders head coach Dan Quinn, again, the name to know for you fantasy football players out there from last night: Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, 11 carries, 46 yards and a score. Big reason why. Also, he had an opportunity as Brian Robinson Jr. sat out last night with some trade rumors swirling about the veteran running back out of Alabama. Week 3 of the preseason begins on Thursday night. Steelers at the Panthers, 6 o'clock. Patriots at the Giants at 7. You can count me into this camp. Michelle Smallman also firmly in on the New England Patriots possibly being a playoff team in 2025.
You have an opportunity to capitalize on potentially having your young quarterback on a rookie deal and being the guy. You have a proven head coach who understands the culture in New England and can get the best out of his players in Mike Vrabel. We like what they did in the draft. We like how aggressive they were in free agency. Oh, and by the way, they have the easiest schedule of any AFC team. The Patriots are a team that could absolutely be a sneaky playoff team. They could be a sneaky wild card team. I'm actually really bullish on them, and I love that Elliott Wolf is taking an aggressive stance here, saying if we see a player that can make us better, we're going to go for it.
And that was the narrative yesterday. Elliott Wolf, son of Ron Wolf, Packer legendary general manager, saying everything's on the table. If there's a player that can really help our team, our first round pick would be on the table for the New England Patriots. You don't feel like the iron is hot enough to strike right now for New England, but next year, they're going to be an offseason darling. If this year is any thing like we think it will be, which is going to be 6, 7, 8 wins and a lot of improvement on the roster, Patriots will gear up for a big year in 26. They'll have a wealth of cap space, all sorts of young playmakers on the roster, and a rock solid head coach in Mike Vrabel. And I said it in hour number one, we'll run through it again here. Offseason locks right now, postseason locks right now in the AFC, Baltimore, Houston, because the division they're in, Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills, those are your four locks. Then you think the Broncos are good enough, you think the Chargers are good enough, that's six of the seven playoff teams. That leaves everyone else vying for that one final spot, the Bengals, the Steelers, the Dolphins, if you're a fan. I'm not. Colts, Daniel Jones, Jaguars maybe, but the Patriots right there at the top of that list, probably the eighth or ninth best team in the conference right now, and are a fringe playoff team coming up this fall. Friday night, we'll see the Vikings back in action. Final preseason game will be in Nashville against the Titans, 7 o'clock on CBS. Bears at the Chiefs, 7:20. And on Saturday, Texans and Lions at noon. Broncos at Saints, same time. Seahawks visiting the Packers, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the NFL Network. Here's head coach Kellen Moore on the evolving quarterback battle down in the Big Easy.
We're just going to keep building through this process. And, we think we got three really good ones here, and we'll continue to build.
Do you think that decision could come this week before the last preseason game, or do you think it's going to
We'll see. Obviously, I got first sight here, but film will be an important aspect of this thing, and we'll just see how everything progresses leading into this week.
Spencer Rattler, Jake Haner, rookie Tyler Shuck, the three really good options in the words of Kellen Moore moments ago. We'll see about that. Spencer Rattler gaining some steam. Tyler Shuck, decent effort in certain preseason games and practice. We'll see how it shakes out. I think Haner is a guy on the outside looking in, at least right now. Lastly here from that ball game, Broncos and Saints, noon on Saturday. Former Bronco running back Philip Lindsay not pulling any punches about expectations in Denver this year.
If they do not make the postseason here in Denver, it would be a failure of a year because of so much hype, because they seem to be all in, because Sean Payton has opened his mouth and pretty much said that they could win it all. So when you put that out there and you put those expectations and the pressure on your players and yourself as a coach, you have to go out there and do it. So this year, it's not just about getting to the playoffs. Now, winning the Super Bowl, we all know that's hard to do. But you got to at least win one playoff game.
And that's the fair expectation, frankly, after a great rookie season for Bo Nix, especially in the second half of the year. That Bronco defense is something fierce. By far, the best and most notable defense heading into this year resides in the Mile High City. What can they do with that? Are they a playoff contender? They're a playoff contender, almost a playoff lock for me. If they had a little bit of a worse division, you feel like Denver would be cruising to a division title. They do not. They got the Chargers. They got the Chiefs. They're going to get banged up and split some games between those two teams. But other than that, yeah, the expectations are playoffs, playoff win, maybe a deep run into the postseason in the AFC, but very competitive. And there's a few teams right now on paper that are better than the Denver Broncos in the AFC, Bills, Chiefs, Ravens, to name just a few. Other news from the NFL. Here's an update from Adam Schefter on the Dallas Cowboys and Micah Parsons situation, and it ain't good.
I just think that, Dallas always has drama. Jerry loves the drama. He likes to create the drama. And there's going to be drama with this now and going forward. For all I know, the two sides decide to sit down at the bargaining table and they hammer out a deal that makes Micah the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Could that happen? Yes. There's zero indication, zero, that that's going to happen, that there's going to be a reverse. And it sounds like at some point in time, whether that's now, after the season, after two seasons, it sounds like the two sides are headed towards a divorce at some time.
And that's not really good news. You can argue out there, if you're a Cowboy fan and you say, that's just Jerry being Jerry, I feel like you're starting to sweat a little bit at this point, because at what point does Jerry being Jerry and operating the circus and getting folks to talk about your team really dang detrimental to your team and the 2025 iteration of the Dallas Cowboys? Because they got a football game in 2 weeks and 2 days against the defending champions on the road in a very meaningful divisional contest to start it out. You don't think Micah Parsons makes that defense better? I don't know what to tell you, because they are a really good team defensively at times with Micah Parsons. They're a much better team with Micah than without him. And if you're in the business of maybe growing your business, winning football games, which Jerry Jones clearly is, I don't know how he can spin this any other way than malpractice right now at this point, not getting something done and apparently not having a great amount of conversations with Micah, his agency. At least talk to the guy and work and find some middle ground. Bring in a mediation team. I don't care what you have to do. This is one of the best young defenders in the entire NFL. And he's been a model citizen there in Dallas, 4 years, double-digit sacks. He was a star from the jump. He's like wearing the star in his helmet throughout his career and has said and done the right things. Now he's requested a trade. He's ticked off. Feelings are hurt. Is it repairable? I don't know. But if it is, Jerry Jones better find out and find out how and how soon he can get the deal done. Now, Adam Schefter, the level of concern with the Los Angeles Rams now versus last week with Matthew Stafford's back. That's the clip now.
What I've been told is the doctors are not concerned. They believe he's going to be okay to play on opening day, and he'll be ready to go, and it won't be an issue. I think the Rams privately, I don't know how you can't be concerned when you thought all along he'd be back. It's August 19th, and he's just starting to practice now. And so I think there's definitely some concern, but I would say today, it still would be a big surprise if he weren't out there on opening day against the Houston Texans. Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, a tough challenge. Not great for a 37-year-old's back. But I also think there are measures you can take on game day to help minimize your pain in the back.
Certainly, there are a lot of measures you could take, possibly pills you got to take or some sort of other therapy for Matthew Stafford. I don't know what's getting alluded to there by Schefter, but I'm going to say this. I'm concerned. My hands are in the air right now. I am concerned with Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams. This is a 37-year-old quarterback who has taken a ton of wear and tear on his body, spent the offseason thinking about retirement, thinking about what could happen. Could I be traded? He's back in L.A. That's great. It's week one. He hasn't practiced at all, and he's got a back issue. This dude's about to get absolutely pummeled every single week, regardless of offensive line protection. It's a physical game. You're telling me his back is going to feel better in the coming weeks and months and long slug through the winter season on a football field than it does right now? I'm not buying it. I'm concerned with the Rams. I'm staying away from the Rams. This is not a great situation. I'm happy to be proved wrong here, but a 37-year-old with a back injury entering the season, having not done a lot this offseason in terms of training and contact and physicality, not a good look, and I feel like the Rams are trying their best to poo-poo this situation, but I think they ought to be in the market, possibly, for other quarterbacks out there, cut-down day or pre-cut-down day, because they got Jimmy G, who is also very old and also happens to be not particularly good anymore, and they have Stetson Bennett, who is probably not a NFL starting caliber quarterback. Probably not. We'll see. But the Rams could be in the market for a quarterback soon. We'll wait and take it day by day, just like the Rams are with Matthew Stafford's back injury concern. Now, we've seen several quarterback competitions wrap up in the last couple of days, including the Cleveland Browns yesterday tabbing ancient Joe Flacco as their starter. Ryan Clark says that's just lazy.
You're making the comfortable decision, right? It's like when people spin the block in a relationship. You know what I mean? It's like you had a girl and she was good, or you had a guy and he was good, but you was like, I'm kind of getting over this. You went out in them streets and them streets wasn't hot for you, so now you go back to the old thing. That's what they've done. Instead of looking at Dylan Gabriel and looking at Shedeur Sanders and saying, can one of these young men be our franchise quarterback of the future, knowing that we have two first-round picks in 2026? Make sure you know what's in your building before you have to go scout and evaluate those next crop or that next crop of quarterbacks. And so for me, they took the easy way out.
But why rush, though? When you're a terrible team, terrible franchise like the Cleveland Browns, what's the rush? Why do you have to throw a quarterback in there? The argument stands for the New York Giants as well, although I think the Giants are a little bit better than the Browns are. But the Cleveland Browns aren't going to go anywhere soon. So my question is, what's the big rush? In sports, we love to praise as a society. I'm not saying Viking fans say anything nice about Green Bay, but we love to praise Green Bay for, you know, Aaron Rodgers got to sit, wait, and learn. And look at how his career turned out. Jordan Love got to sit, wait, and learn. Look at that. That's great. Or Patrick Mahomes had a whole year on the bench to learn from Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid and Alex Smith, who was a pretty above average quarterback for the majority of his career. He got to sit and learn. Why don't we do that? And then we draft a quarterback as a speaking for a team. You draft a quarterback and it's play the guy. I need to see this rookie right now. Throw him into the fire and see what comes out. Let's ruin this kid. I don't understand what this narrative is about. Isn't the goal to win football games? Because Joe Flacco probably, not definitively, but probably gives you the best chance to do that and to stay competitive. And the best part about it is you're already paying the guy. He can go out there and teach these youngsters how to prepare, how to handle the highs and lows, how to handle throwing a pick six or coming off after a really bad series and saying, here's what I'm going to look at first. I saw this on this play. I went this way. That was a mistake. This is how you can learn from that as I'm learning here. Watch this, youngster, and take some notes. Why is that less valuable than throwing these guys out into the fire just for the name of we drafted them, right? Shouldn't they know how to play quarterback? I don't understand it. When you can't protect a guy, you don't have marquee weaponry around the guy, and you're going to stink anyway, throw Flacco out there for 3, 4, 5 games. Let one of these rookies or both of these rookies get ready and emerge. And when you feel like the time is right, unplug the veteran, plug in the youngster, and see how it goes, at least with some preparation and know-how and experience on the bench before you throw them out there and sit them on the bench before long because they are absolutely positively overwhelmed, shell-shocked, and possibly done for good. We've seen it over and over and over again, and we say this in the NFL. Good on the Packers. Good on the Chiefs for letting that guy learn. Look at how prepared and sharp he is. And then we look at places like Chicago or Detroit in the past, or the New York Jets in recent memory, where they just throw these kids out there, they get eaten alive, confidence shattered, and then we say, what a bust. That dude stinks. It's not that difficult to understand why. Some of these guys might be a bust no matter what, and that's not an exact science. But a lot of this is, like Kevin O'Connell said last year, we do far more damage to rookie quarterbacks than they do to our team and our chance of winning when you just throw them out there and say, get out there, win the football game. Thanks so much. Hope you're ready. I don't get it out there in Cleveland. So, yeah, I'm pushing back on Ryan Clark's take that Joe Flacco somehow did not earn the right to be the starter. He's the most ready, most willing, and also the best quarterback they have on the roster right now that can lead to wins next week and the week after that for the Cleveland Browns and that really tough 2025 season that's ahead for that school. End of speech for now. NASCAR race this weekend is at Daytona. It is the final race before the Chase for the Cup playoffs get underway. 6:30 on NBC on Sunday. PGA Tour makes a visit to the Tour Championship in Atlanta Thursday through Sunday as well. No action from the WNBA last night. Lynx at the Liberty underway tonight at 6 o'clock. Dream at the Aces, 9 o'clock. Mercury at Valkyries, also a 9 o'clock go time. Week 0 of the college football season is headlined by Iowa State and Kansas State, 11 o'clock on ESPN. K-State is a field goal favorite at ESPN Bet. And the Ohio State Buckeye quarterback competition came to a close yesterday. Julian Sain named the starting quarterback in Columbus over Lincoln Kienholz. And here's head coach Ryan Day on the decision and the determination.
You see that there was a lot of growth made, and you look at the numbers and the production. We felt like, you know, he was, you know, in a situation where he was ready to go play in this game. We also feel like Lincoln's ready to play. But, you know, overall, Julian was more consistent.
So Julian saying more consistent, he gets the nod. And welcome to college football and starting as the quarterback of the Ohio State Buckeyes to Julian saying, no pressure. You're just at home to the number one team in the country with Arch Manning at quarterback, the Texas Longhorns. Hell of a start to the season. Ton of pressure for Julian Sain and Lincoln Kienholz there in that competition. Sain will get the nod for week one against the Texas Longhorns. And if you missed it last night, really valiant effort for Sioux Falls Little League against Fairfield, Connecticut. Early on, Sioux Falls had a 1-0 advantage, went down 2-1, and things got out of hand late. 13-1 the final. Fairfield, Connecticut over Sioux Falls. But the good news is, It's a double elimination tournament. Sioux Falls right back in action tonight at 6 o'clock on ESPN. They draw a matchup with Bonnie Lake, Washington. Bonnie Lake lost their first game, won their first elimination game just yesterday, or excuse me, 2 days ago, and they'll get Sioux Falls coming up tonight, 6 o'clock on ESPN-TV. Big news for South Dakota State football. Their 2029 season opener, which somehow is just 4 years away, will be unlike any other as the Jackrabbits have been selected to face Montana in Las Vegas. Slated for Labor Day weekend, the game between the Jacks and Grizz will be played at Allegiant Stadium, the home of the Las Vegas Raiders. The Vegas Kickoff Classic is owned and operated by ESPN, and exact game dates, times, and networks will be announced at a later time. We got time. It's 4 years away, but FCSU head coach Dan Jackson saying via statement, this is a great way to showcase what FCS football is all about. We're looking forward to the opportunity to play a big-time opponent in what will be a first-class environment and memorable experience for our players and fans. That's right, Jackrabbit fans, get the calendars out. If you got one already for 2029, circle Las Vegas on the calendar. Going to get going. The date's not necessarily set yet, but Labor Day weekend, Vegas Kickoff Classic 2029. More details at GoJacks.com. Now, the South Dakota Prep High School football media poll is out, and the Brandon Valley Lynx are your top team by the narrowest of margins in Class 11 AAA. They're tied in the poll with Lincoln, but BV got 8 of a possible 16 first-place votes, and Lincoln got 7. So it's BV, Lincoln, Harrisburg at 3, Jefferson at 4, and O'Gorman at 5, and the Knights got a first-place vote at number 5 in the poll. Others receiving votes, Washington had 4 total votes in the poll. So AAA, BV, Lincoln, Harrisburg, Jefferson, O'Gorman, and Washington on the outside looking in. Peer is your top team in AA, followed by Yankton, Brookings, T, and Watertown. Single A at Sioux Falls Christian, followed by Lenox, Del Rapids, West Central, and Madison. And in the Bs, Winner, followed by Sioux Valley, Elk Point, Jefferson, St. Thomas More, and Wagner. Double A on the 9AA level, Elkton Lake Benton 1, Hamlin 2, Parkston 3, Viberg Hurley 4, and Freeman Academy at number 5. 9 single A, even split between Howard and Wall. They both got 7 first place votes, but Howard is your top team with 69 points to Wall's 68. Howard, Wall, Woolsey, Wessington, Warner, and Harding County Bison in the top 5. And then 9B at Sully Buttes at number 1, Avon 2, Falkton 3, Del Rapids, St. Mary 4, and Canastota rounding out the poll at number 5. That's your latest media poll. You can find it at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Brandon Valley number 1, very slim margin over defending state champion 2 times over Lincoln Patriot football. The season underway for the majority of classes coming up this weekend. The regular season underway next weekend for everyone. South Dakota high school football. Keep it locked and loaded to ESPNSiouxFalls.com for weekend previews, weekend recaps, and the poll weekly going to be posted at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. We'll get a break out of the way, come back with the latest news from the NFL and a season preview for an intriguing team that's likely not to go too far in the postseason. They're not going to get to the postseason. It's the Las Vegas Raiders. We'll talk about that team, the ceiling, the floor, what we expect to change, and a lot of turnover out there in Sin City. That's coming up next on this Tuesday edition of Overtime on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Tuesday edition of Overtime, dedicated NFL segment on tap right now, including a season preview for the Las Vegas Raiders, who are certainly not going anywhere fast. They're a bad team in a really, really good division. Chargers, Broncos, Chiefs, way better than they are right now. You look at win totals, the Raiders are standing pat at 6.5, and the juice is not in the favor of that hitting, minus 150 for the Raiders right now. Broncos at 9.5 wins, and elsewhere, you can find those other teams. Chargers at 9.5, and the Broncos certainly right around that area as well. Officially for Denver, as I continue to scroll and look around and miss out on the Denver Broncos win total, they are right around that 9.5 as well. 9.5 and -120, the juice on Denver. We'll preview that Raiders season right around the corner and finish up that division as the week moves on. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have not activated Chris Godwin from the physically unable to perform list yet, and head coach Todd Bowles announced today that they'll definitely be missing another wideout for the start of the regular season. So maybe that Trey Palmer trade that a lot of Viking fans are dreaming about with the Buccaneers isn't going to happen after all, because the Bucs will need Palmer early on this season. Bowles said at a press conference that Jalen McMillan, second-year wide receiver out of Washington, has a severe neck strain and that he'll not be ready to play in week one against Atlanta. According to Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com, Bowles did not say how much more time McMillan will miss if he goes on injured reserve. He'll have to miss 4 games before being eligible to return. Third-round pick last year, 37 catches, 461 yards, and 8 touchdowns as a rookie for Jalen McMillan. And that season might start out with a stint on injured reserve. Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson looks like he is avoiding injured reserve, made his long-awaited return to practice on Monday. And according to Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com, Jefferson hurt his hamstring on the second day of training camp and remained on the sideline until taking his first steps back on the field to kick off the week yesterday. After the session was over, Jefferson said that he's glad that he's feeling great again and that he set a target of week one to get back to 100%. That is going to be very important. Here's a quote from Jefferson at the press conference yesterday. To be honest, what I got from it is that I'm different from a lot of other people. The way I move, the way my body is positioned, the way I cut, the way I do everything is kind of different than what everyone else does. In different positions, I might put a little more stress on my body than a normal typical person would. So I'm like putting my body into different positions and strengthening out those spots. It's kind of weird and it's kind of difficult to really explain, but to be honest, just putting my body in difficult positions to withstand coming out here and being in those spots. Vikings hopeful Justin Jefferson ready to go week one, likely to have him, and that is really good news considering they will be without suspended wide receiver Jordan Addison for the first 3 weeks, and Rondale Moore, of course, a knee injury out for the season, which means we'll see Jalen Naylor, likely Lucky Jackson, other receivers that might make the team with an opportunity, but Jordan Addison out week one in Chicago, Monday Night Football. Justin Jefferson very likely in. Big news for Minnesota yesterday. Cincinnati Bengals defensive end Trey Hendrickson remains entrenched in his position of not playing the upcoming year for Cincinnati. Hendrickson spoke to ESPN's Laura Rutledge in Landover, Maryland, ahead of Cincy's ultimate win over the Commanders last night, and the core tenets of his stance of his contract negotiations are still intact. The 4-time Pro Bowl player, who will turn 31 this fall, set to make $16 million this year, ended his holdout July 30th and has been with the team since then, but not practicing. Hendrickson saying back then, renegotiation is not something I'm chasing. It's not. I think I've made my statements clear. Security is something I value, and telling my wife where we're going to play, those are the things that matter to me. He, again, just like Micah Parsons, entering a contract year, important physical position on a team that really needs him. I don't understand why this isn't getting done with Trey Hendrickson. The age is a concern. But in terms of a guy that has come out and said, I love being in Cincinnati, want to play for the Bengals, then the tune changed and said, okay, you know what? I've had my time here. I appreciate it. Here's a heartfelt letter to the fan base. I would like to be traded. Bengals don't even really respond to that. The lack of contact, frankly, disrespectful for Trey Hendrickson. And now we sit here, Hendrickson reporting to be with the team late July, no practice since, and the Bengals defense not looking good. Breaking news in Cincinnati, the defense isn't prepared. And they're without the best player and the best player they've had on that defense over the last couple of years in Trey Hendrickson. And we're going to talk week one, two, three, four, and as long as this goes on, about what could have been if Trey Hendrickson was healthy and was there and helping out the youngsters and being a mentor on that defense that needs any help it can get right now. They also alienated Shamar Stewart to the point where he wasn't in camp till a couple of weeks ago. Things are not good in Cincy, and that's why I am really concerned that that team's about to do it for a third straight year. Do what? Not make the playoffs. That's an obvious concern with Cincinnati. I don't know if they're good enough. The offense is elite. The defense is below average, and the mean of that, median of those two value points, depends on a lot of different factors, and we'll see if Cincinnati can figure it out defensively. I'm not so sure, especially with Trey Hendrickson clearly dug very deep into his trench on his side of the negotiations. The Miami Dolphins are doing something about their defensive deficiencies, agreeing to a one-year contract with outside linebacker Matthew Judon yesterday. Contract is worth $6 million, excuse me, up to $6 million, and Judon visited the team's facility on Monday, leading to speculation about a potential long-term injury to one of the Dolphins' top pass rushers. Again, Jalen Phillips, Chop Robinson, Bradley Chubb have all battled their stuff lately or the last couple of years, and Matthew Judon coming in and has been a very productive player in his career and looking to get an opportunity there in Miami. And lastly, interesting stuff here. Washington Commanders running back Brian Robinson Jr. did not play last night in the preseason game. Normally not a big deal, but according to ESPN.com and the ESPN Monday Night Football broadcast crew, that possibly signaled the end of his tenure with the franchise after 3 years. Neither Robinson nor wide receiver Terry McLaurin, who isn't practicing while seeking a contract extension, were in attendance at Northwest Stadium for the loss last night. Commanders could end up trying to trade Robinson over the next several days. One league source said if they don't find a suitor, Washington could end up cutting Brian Robinson Jr., primary back for the past 3 years. Why would they do that? Just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If you're going to get absolutely nothing for somebody that was your lead rusher last year, physical back, he's not amazing, but he's a starting caliber back in the league, at least right now. And as far as I'm concerned, the depth he provides is better than cutting him and paying him anyway. I frankly don't understand the narrative of cutting Brian Robinson Jr. If they want to trade him for a fifth-round pick to a running back needy team, that's okay, I guess, if you believe that much in Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt. That's the name to know, by the way. Chris Rodriguez Jr. also there had 6 carries. Merritt had 11 and also had a big, long touchdown run. But interesting stuff. Brian Robinson Jr. not there. Terry McLaurin not going to get cut. Very unlikely to get traded, although he's got a request out there. DC, kind of funky, not inspiring confidence here. And this has got to be, thinking about this morning, out of all the NFL seasons in the last decade that I can remember, 2 decades included that I can remember, this is probably the muddiest, yuckiest contract situation offseason we've had. And it's continuing now into the 20th day tomorrow of August for Micah Parsons, for Trey Hendrickson. James Cook finally got paid. You've also got that situation in DC. Now 2 situations there. Pretty crazy. The number of situations regarding really good players on teams that need them, that are refusing to pay them out of injury concern, out of age concern. You feel like teams might want to budge and meet in the middle, especially Dallas and Cincinnati. And then for DC, you got all these expectations from last year. You had a dynamite rookie year from Jaden Daniels. He's going to be pretty good again. You're going to take away his best weapon as a pass catcher in Terry McLaurin, and you're going to cut or trade the leading running back from last year in Brian Robinson Jr. I just don't understand the narrative here. I don't understand the timing of it either for DC. But again, people paid a lot more money to make those bad decisions than I am. Let's preview our team for the day. The Las Vegas Raiders will round out the west of the AFC this week. NFC North coming your way next week on the show. And the Las Vegas Raiders last year, breaking news, were pretty bad. They were 4-13, dead last in the AFC West, and they hired the young, spry, and chipper, oldest coach in the league and in the country, Pete Carroll. First season with the Las Vegas Raiders after a year off following a departure in Seattle. Carroll's record as a pro coach is fantastic. 170 against 120 losses and 1 tie. He is an even 11-11 in the postseason. Should have won 2 Super Bowls if it wasn't for Ricardo Lockett and Malcolm Butler in the New England Patriot goal line stand. And also just not handing the ball off to Marshawn Lynch. But that's a different story. 11-11 postseason record all time for Pete Carroll in the NFL. The additions to the roster this offseason are not really needle movers. Jeremy Chinn at safety, guard Alex Kappa, linebacker Jermaine Pratt, and cornerback Eric Stokes comes over from Green Bay. If you're a Packer fan, you know that's not much of an addition this offseason. Departures from the Raiders, these are big names. Safety Trayvon Moehrig leaves town, as does cornerback Nate Hobbs. He goes to Green Bay. Linebacker Robert Spillane, also a guy that I thought was going to be a Raiders lifer, he's off the team. And backup quarterback and fan favorite Gardner Minshew. Minshew Mania heading up to Kansas City, departing from the Raider roster. This team was not that awful last year statistically. They were 21st in yards and 24th in points per game offensively. Defensively, 30th in yards, 19th in points, and they were right in the middle of the league in turnovers. Minus two turnover margin, that ranks 16th in the NFL. They have the 16th easiest schedule, right in the middle of the league this year. So not easy, not hard, just right for the schedule for the Raiders in 2025. Divisional outlook is absolutely a gauntlet, and playoffs. No playoffs this year for the Las Vegas Raiders. Over under at DraftKings and Vegas Insider is sitting at 6.5 right now. And this is one of those I can say I feel confident about saying under for the Las Vegas Raiders. Not a lot to inspire confidence. I like Geno Smith. Love Ashton Jeanty. Don't love a whole lot more on the roster except for Max Crosby. We'll see what the Raiders can be. I think they made a really good hire with Pete Carroll in terms of riding the ship and finding that eventual successor on staff in the next 3, 4, 5 years when Carroll's ready to hang up the whistle officially. But this year's not the year that the Raiders are going to go win 7, 8, 9, 10 games and get back to the playoffs. I don't think it's happening this year, and it might not happen next year. So I'm going to go under and feel pretty good about that. Under 6.5 for the Las Vegas Raiders in 2025. We take the break, come back with the latest from college football and another look at that South Dakota Prep Media High School football poll. That's next on this Tuesday edition of Overtime.
Stream us online. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Couple speedy segments here before we say die on this Tuesday, August 19th edition of Overtime. In case you missed it, the South Dakota High School Football Prep Media preseason poll is out, and 11 AAA, Brandon Valley, your top team. No points better than Lincoln, but one more first place vote than the Patriot program. The Lynx number one, Lincoln number two, technically a tie, but again, the tiebreaker would be first place votes, and BV getting 8, Lincoln with 7, Harrisburg third in the poll, Jefferson fourth, and O'Gorman 5th. And the Knights did get the other first place vote. BV will open the season at Washington here in Sioux Falls coming up on Friday, August 29th. Lincoln's got Stevens in town as well. Harrisburg home to O'Gorman. Jefferson visiting Watertown. And O'Gorman, of course, at Harrisburg. That's how the top five will sift out in AAA to start the season. Also in the others receiving votes category, Sioux Falls, Washington outside looking in. 11 AA, Pierce your top team, commanding 15 of the 16 first place votes. Yankton 2, Brookings 3, T4, and Watertown 5. Titan program did get 1 first place vote in the poll. Single A, Sioux Falls Christian got 14 of the 16 first place votes. Lennox at 2 got another. Del Rapids at 3 got the final one. West Central at 4, Madison at 5. And then your other top teams, 11B is winner. 9 AA, Elkton Lake Benton. 9 A, Howard in a split with Wall. And 9B, Sully Butte. Your top team, 11 of the possible 16 first place votes. You can find that poll in its entirety at ESPN Sioux Falls, and we'll have it up for you every week to keep you company during the South Dakota high school football seasons. Texas Tech sophomore running back Quinton Joyner, a projected starter with the team, will be missing the entirety of the season after news broke that he sustained a knee injury over the weekend in a scrimmage. 5'11", 215-pound Joyner is among a large group of notable transfers who joined Texas Tech this past winter. And last season, he finished second on the USC Trojan program in rushing yards, appeared in 5 games as a true freshman back in 2023. Red Raiders coach Joey McGuire, speaking on his What's Next podcast yesterday, said Joyner sustained a non-contact injury. That one hurts for Texas Tech sophomore running back Quinton Joyner out for the season. We'll get to know the name if you don't know it already. Starting quarterback for the Clemson Tiger football program, Cade Klubnik. He's been reading the comments on social media. He's heard the chatter about him, about how he simply wasn't good enough to be the starting quarterback at Clemson. And he heard fans clamoring for Coach Dabo Swinney to tap the transfer portal and find a quality replacement. It was all coming to a head after Klubnik's sophomore season in 2023, a year in which the Tigers struggled early, but closed with five straight wins to finish at 9-4. Everybody kind of told me I sucked and wasn't very good, Klubnik said back then. A lot of people wanted me out of Clemson, and now Klubnik is a shortlist candidate for the Heisman Trophy this year, entering as a Heisman contender and the fourth-ranked Tigers expected to compete for a national championship. We'll see if that comes through fruition down there in Clemson, South Carolina. And lastly, if you want to entertain things like this, Cade Klubnik is your first-team offense quarterback for the All-America first team for the AP preseason poll. Cade Klubnik at quarterback. You got Jeremiah Love at Notre Dame at running back. Iowa native Caden Proctor, who plays at Alabama along the offensive line, making the cut. And also, you know the names well, Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State, Ryan Williams at Alabama, a couple dynamic wide receivers making the first team. And on your second team, your quarterback worth noting, Garrett Nussmeier at LSU. And then one area guy playing at an area school is going to be Minnesota's Coy Parrish. His safety, punt returner, kick returner, can also play some offense. Do-it-all guy is a second-team safety, according to the AP preseason All-America list. That's the latest from college football for now. We'll tune it up next for the good, the bad, and the ugly as we're ready to say so long to this Tuesday edition of Overtime. That's next right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
A moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you, set to wrap up this Tuesday edition of Overtime right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. You planning a new outdoor space can be very, very hard. Don't get left out in the cold. Plan your next project today with the help of the pros at Hardscapes Outlet. Don't let your project turn out bad or ugly. Get some good advice and planning today by making your next trip to Hardscapes Outlet. They got three Sioux Empire locations. You can also check them out at hardscapesoutlet.com. It is time for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example. Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
We always start out with the good news, and I love stories like this. How about this for a big-time auction item? A program from the first National Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony back in 1939 that is signed by all 11 living inductees at the time, sold via Leland's Auctions for just over $315,000. It's the most ever paid for a program, beating out the $241,500 paid for a 1903 World Series program in 2011. The Baseball Hall of Fame program, believed to be the only one ever signed by all the living inductees present at the event. Some big names here: Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, Walter Johnson, Honus Wagner, Cy Young, Tris Speaker, Grover Alexander, Nap LaJoy, George Sisler, Eddie Collins, and Connie Mack. Program also signed by Hall of Famers Mel Ott and Lefty Grove. $315,000. Now, good news as well. Love stories like this from college football. I still remember when Baker Mayfield was a walk-on freshman starter during his tenure early on in his college football career. How about BYU? They are naming Bear Bachmeyer as the starting quarterback at the school. It'll make him the first true freshman in school history to start a season opener. Bachmeyer will also wear number 47 and will debut against Portland State on August 30th. Takes over the quarterback job on a team that went 11-2 last year. Talk about some pressure, opportunity for Bear Bachmeyer out there at BYU. First BYU true freshman to start an opener, and also Going to wear number 47. All sorts of funk on that one. Lastly, the bad and the ugly news to get to. The Chicago Cubs are not playing great. Right fielder Kyle Tucker, among those players, likely to get multiple days off after going 0-for-4 in game one of a scheduled doubleheader yesterday. Cubs instead are playing two today after rain impacting game two yesterday. Cubs lost yesterday 7-0, and the 28-year-old Tucker has struggled mightily this month. He's hitting 160 with zero extra base hits. He was booed after each of his final three at-bats in the loss to the Brewers, including two weak groundouts and a pop-up to left field, also grounded out in his first at-bat, likely to have some time off to maybe shake off a little bit of rust and the bugaboo that is surrounding that Chicago Cubs program right now as they continue to chase and fail against the Milwaukee Brewers. Brewers all over the Cubbies at Wrigley yesterday, 7-0. They play two today, 120 and 705. That's our show today. Again, the Twins in action tonight, 6 o'clock pregame, 6:40, the official start time. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 11 when the next edition of Overtime rolls right back around on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.